So we're starting a new series, partly in conjunction with just talking about how ordinary people can make a difference. And when I'm going to be preaching this month and next month, we're going to look at four different Bible characters who God used in very dramatic ways to bring change to the area they lived. And so just like Cindy Jacobs is prophesying things on a national scale, there are individuals in the scriptures who, by just being themselves, not full-time ministry, none of the people we're going to look at in this series got a salary from a church. Did you know that, can I get three people to stand up? So Steve and Kimberly, can I get you to stand up? By the way, can I make the announcement for you? They've just found out they're pregnant. Yay! Woo-hoo! Or she is, not Steve. She's pregnant, right? And your son, why don't your son stand up beside you? Okay, see these three people? So I don't know how many there are here this morning, 800, 900 people in this room. On average, there's one follower of Jesus for every 300 people that makes their salary from Christian ministry. One for every 300. So they're it for our whole church. They're the only ones who get paid. No, they don't get paid from our church. You can sit down, guys. But most of us are never going to get a salary for being a follower of Jesus. You understand that? So the teaching of the scripture is don't expect that, but now we're supposed to be making a difference, aren't we? And so in the scriptures, we see this amazing story about a lady named Dorcas in Acts chapter 10, and it says this. In Joppa, there was the disciple, and disciples, the same word for follower of Jesus. There was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas. And this lady was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upper room. Lydda is a city about 15 miles going towards Jerusalem. Joppa is a port city. Lydda was near Joppa, and so when the disciples heard that people was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room, and then he got down on his knees and he prayed. Turning towards the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." I like the fact that he learned from Jesus very short little simple prayers. I don't have a lot of patience for long prayers myself, and so I like the idea that Jesus had short little commands. "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and he helped her to her feet. And then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. It's an amazing little story. There's three very simple things that we get out of this passage. And the first one is this, is that she just used her natural ability. Sorry, I jumped ahead of myself. Quick little history here, geography. So Joppa is now known as Jaffa. It's a port city, and it has been the primary port of Israel for centuries. It is all the stuff from Solomon's temple. The Bible talks about that this was the place where all the cedars of Lebanon and all those kind of things were brought into. And Jonah is mentioned in the scriptures as going the wrong way from this port. So Dorcas, she cared for people in her city. Did you see that little passage there where it says there was a disciple named Tabitha who was always doing good and helping the poor? All the way through your Bible, you're going to see that God cares for the poor, and his encouragement is that every single one of us care for people that find themselves in a difficult place, in a struggle. And it's just one of the constant teachings of the scripture is that we're to be compassionate. Sandra and I, yesterday, we're leaving the parade, and we're heading off to Scarborough for my aunt's birthday. And if you're downtown Toronto driving, every time there's a red light, there's someone with a Tim Hortons cup and asking for some money. And I try all the time to, you know, if it's appropriate, if I'm not still driving and all that kind of stuff, I try to be generous every single time. We only had a little bit of change, and so that's all we were able to give. Most of the time, when I see people, Sandra and I were at, again, we were filling up with gas someplace a while back. That's when we were going to go strawberry picking, wasn't it? In July. And as Sandra went into the convenience store that they have at the gas station, I'm pumping the gas, there's a man that's standing there. And Sandra comes back out and she says, "I got some money out of the banking machine so that we can bless this guy." And so we went over after I finished pumping the gas, and Sandra and I went over, and we said to the gentleman, "We're going to give you some money, but can we pray for you as well?" Well, he's sort of stuck because of the way I phrased it, that he had to get the prayer if he's going to get the money. So he's like, okay. And we gave him 20 bucks. You know what? I think that was enough money that he needed because he just took off. Now, I don't know what he did. That's not my issue. My issue is we're called to be generous, aren't we? And in the scriptures, here's a lady that is known for caring for the poor. The next thing is that she cared for them just with the natural abilities and gifts that she had. She's a dressmaker. And so what she does, it would appear that she's making dresses. She's making robes for the guys. Where's my Nigerian friend that came in dressed like an African today with the orange hat, or sorry, the pink hat? Where are you, brother? Where is he? Stand up, stand up. Okay, see that kind of outfit? That's what we're talking about. That's the kind of things that she's making, those kind of outfits. Thank you, sir. Show them your hat. Show them your hat. Wave your hat. Where's your hat? You're not going to show them your hat? Okay, here it is. It's coming. It's coming. Are you going to show them the hat? It's hiding. It's tucked in somewhere, it looks like. Okay, on the way out, you have to stand by me and shake hands at the door, okay? I love when the Africans dress up. So that's what Tabitha's doing. She's a dressmaker. She's making these outfits. And it would appear that one of her ways to help people who are disadvantaged and poor, especially widows, is she's giving them free clothes. And when she dies, these are now the intercessors. They're going, oh God, we need this kind of person in our life. Do you realize that when you make a difference, you have people praying for you, that you have people blessing you? That guy at the grocery store, or not the grocery store, at the gas station, when Sandra and I give him the money, do you know what he's probably thinking? I hope that guy comes here all the time. I hope that guy gets his gasoline all the time here. Isn't that what he's probably thinking? And he's probably thinking good things about me. Yes? Because maybe he gets a quarter, maybe gets, you know, a loony, something like that, and Sandra and I give 20. Did I tell you last week about giving tips? Did I talk about that? How many weren't here last week? There's a whole bunch of you. Bill Johnson, when he was here in January, gave a throwaway in his sermon about one of the evangelism strategies in their church in California is to be generous tippers, and he's encouraging people to tip 100% in your restaurants. So I've been doing that. It is amazing the things that are happening. It is shocking the results that you get. In England, I was walked to the car by a manager and by a waitress, and that's not normal service, is it? Anyways, they're going, maybe he's got more. And it's just money. It's like, if you give, you're going to get, aren't you? Here's the amazing thing about this lady. Sue, if you could put me up for the last one. What Dorcas did set her up for a miracle. I want you to see the correlation here. As she's caring for people and just using her natural abilities that she's good at, when she needs a miracle, in fact, when she can't even call out for a miracle's there, and I think it's there for two reasons. I think it's there because of the people that have been praying for her and saying, God, this isn't right. This lady appeared to have some sort of disease and died prematurely. Father, do something. And they're active, and they say, get Peter, get the apostle to come. And so Peter is actually 15 miles away, and so they get him, and that's probably 2 days' walk. One day to get him, and one day to come back. And so they're pushing in. And when she needs a miracle, I think the whole purpose of her story being in the scriptures is to say to you and me, when we get involved in these kind of things, miracles are available for us. Breakthroughs are available for us. Supernatural is available for us. I think that's the point of this story. It's not just that she was good at making dresses. I think the encouragement is that when we're in kingdom business through our own little businesses, that God can use us. I had asked Curtis Hines to be here this morning, and he's not able to. Curtis, some of you won't know him, but he sits in the front row when he's here. Big black Trinidadian. Is he Trinidadian or St. Kitts or one of the Caribbean islands? And he tried out for the Argos a couple times, didn't make them. That probably was a good career choice. But Curtis is always like beating up people. Like he's just big and strong. And he decided, or the Lord spoke to him about being a chaplain for the police in Peel. So Mississauga, Brampton, Caledon. And after like 500 people applied for that free job, like it's a volunteer position, Curtis got the job as the chaplain for all of the Peel police officers. And if you weren't here when he was sharing about it, about 2 months after he got that job, the first Peel police officer in like 20 years to die on the job died, and Curtis got to lead the funeral of 6,000 officers that came. The mayor, Hazel McCallion, Premier McGuinty, just all these celebrities and big shots and politicians are there. And Curtis today, the reason why he's not here today, is he's officiating at a wedding of one of the officers. And Curtis, just through his love for beating up, no, that's not right, beating up people. That's completely wrong. He's always loved law enforcement, let's put it that way. He's always loved the idea of, you know, sort of being big and tough and manly and all that kind of stuff that the police stand for. And here he's having an amazing opportunity. Do you know Daphne Clark, our children's pastor? You know Daphne Miss Congeniality? Daphne, before she was married, and when they were first married, was a high school teacher, and she taught home economics. So that's learning how to cook, that's learning how to sew, that's learning how to run a house. And she has always been a person who likes making dresses and making outfits and things like that. And a couple years ago, she and her husband Darren decided that they would start a business, and they live in Bolton. And so if you look at the side of Daphne's minivan, quite often it'll say Bolton School of Sewing. And they've started a little business to teach girls, teens, and ladies how to sew. And she's making money from this little business. But that's not why she's doing that. She's doing that because this is her gift, this is her ability, she likes doing this, and it's an evangelism tool. And so on the kids camp that we had, remember last week we had all the kids up, or not all the kids, but we had some of the kids up here. Some of the kids from her sewing school, not going to church, parents don't know Jesus, guess where they show up? Kids camp, because of Daphne's influence. Friends, I want to encourage you that God has planted you in the workplace where you are to be a difference maker. So whatever your occupation is, you're there because God wants you there. And I know some of you would like to get out of where you are. That's okay. But while you're there for God, aren't you? The book of Ephesians, the book of Colossians talks about that it's actually that God's put us in those places, and even though there's a boss, even though there's a manager, we're actually working for God in those places, aren't we? And some of you get better salaries than you're ever going to get than in the ministry. Yes. Some of you get health and dental packages. Our church doesn't have a pension plan for any of our employees. Some of you get that, and we're going to have to rely on God to grow old. That's okay. God wants to use each of us, and here's the kicker. When we do it, it seems like part of the rewards that come back is when we need a miracle, God's there for us. Would you agree with that? That seems to be a logical conclusion to that. Well, I got three questions for you, Sue, if you don't mind. Question number one. So what are you good at? Are you good at fixing computers? Are you good at being nice? Are you good at smiling? Whatever you're good at, God wants you to use those gifts for other people. Do you care about people? Well, I think most people care, don't they? Maybe not care for everybody all the time, but I think deep in the heart of most of us is this desire. It's like, well, I do want to make a difference. I do want to help people. And then the third question is this. Are you setting yourself up for a miracle? Or are you just in stale mode? Are you just in, you know, treadmill mode, where just life's going by and it's missing? You're not storing up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I found that passage very interesting. I was thinking about that. What does it mean to be storing up treasures in heaven? Could it mean that when I need to be raised from the dead by a friend, that's what I could be storing up? It's probably not just that I'm going to have a nice house in heaven with some nice gold overlaid furniture. It's probably not that. Probably not that I'm going to be having a great sound system that's worshiping the Lord all day long. Probably not, you know, just that there's wonderful buffet that we get to partake on all the time. I think we underestimate what God, the rewards that are from heaven that need to come to us and God wants to bring to us. I'd like you to stand up, please. And can you find two friends? So get in a group of two or three. Get in a group of two or three. So we're going to pray some things this morning, and here's what we're going to pray about. The first thing, you each have 30 seconds to answer question number one to the other people in your group. What are you good at? Go, 30 seconds each. What are you good at? Well, I can play the piano really well. I'm good at languages. I like painting. I like interior decorating. I like gardening. I like driving fast cars. I like playing sports. What are you good at? Those of you at home, you have to play along in our game as well. Everyone get a chance to say something? How many need more time? Okay, stop. I'm going to assume that we don't need to ask the second question. And so here's what I'd like you to do. For the next 5 minutes, so you got about a minute each, 2 minutes each, I'd like two of you, if you're in a group of three, to gang up on the one. And I'd like you to pray that God will begin to give them more and more revelation of how they're wired to do stuff. And pray that there would be more compassion that would come to your friend. And pray that when they need their breakthrough, that they get it. Would that be all right? So like you got 1 minute to pray for each person. Go. So you're praying for having a greater heart for the poor, a greater heart for those who are disadvantaged, and you're praying that when they need a miracle, it comes. And then we're going to do one more prayer after we've done that. Pray for the heart of God to come into your friends. More compassion for others. Bless their eyes to see the people that they need to see. Bless their heart to be soft. Bless their ears to hear when the Holy Spirit says, "See that person? Take a look over there." Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. If you're in a group of three, move on to the second person now. Pray for God's heart to shine through them. More of the Holy Spirit released in them. More caring, more discernment, more of the love of God. Have a heart for people. Pray for your friend that when they need a breakthrough, when they need that miracle, there would be something stored up in heaven for them. There would be those resources already there. There would be the poor that would be calling out to God and saying, "God, that's not right. My friend can't lose their job because they help me every week. Give them back their job." Okay, switch to the third person now. If you're in a group of four, that means you need to pray for two people at the same time because this is our last go-round. So one more minute praying for your friend. The two things. We're praying for more of God's heart to care for others, and we're praying that there would be storehouses, resources set up that when they need a miracle, it's there for them. Come, Holy Spirit, bless our prayers. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Give you 30 seconds, and then we're going to pray for something very different. Okay, wrap up your prayer. Here's the next question. How many of you in this room today need some sort of supernatural miracle? Maybe not, you don't need raised from the dead today, but there's something that you need. Like, I'm talking about something serious. Like, for example, tomorrow you have to make a decision. You don't have money to pay your rent or your mortgage. You have something like maybe a life-threatening sickness or disease. You need a miracle today. Hands up if you're in that situation. Keep your hand up high. Church, find someone who's got their hand up, and let's go and lay hands on them right now. Let's ask God to do that for our friend. Keep your hand up until someone comes. Church, look around. People need jobs today. They need financial breakthrough today. If no one's come to you, wave your hand like this if no one's come to you. Okay, there's a lady right in the middle over here. Anyone else not... No one came to you yet? There's a gentleman right back over here in a blue and white shirt. If someone could go to him. Someone back over here. Someone needs to go back over here to this gentleman. Good. Church, if you could look behind you, because sometimes the people with their hands up are behind you. Ask what it is that they need a miracle for. And Father, we're asking today. Father, most people in this room have been generous in the past. Most people have been caring. They've been helping friends. They've been doing things like helping a friend move. They've been doing free babysitting. They've been doing all sorts of different things that have set themselves up for miracles. And Father, in the name of Jesus, would you come and would you supernaturally change the circumstances for the men and women that have their hands up right now in this room and those of you that are watching on Catch the Fire TV. Holy Spirit, come. Father, we're asking for healing to come for those that need a healing miracle. Father, we just speak to people's hearts. My heart just started going thump. So Father, we just speak to those who need some sort of healing to come to their heart today. Father, we speak to those who have great stress in their finances. Can't pay their mortgage, can't pay their rent, can't pay their bills. Father, we're asking that you would come for those men and women. Father, we thank you that you are able to do great exploits. And Father, thank you that nothing that happened in the Bible can't happen today. And Father, even things that didn't happen in the Bible can happen today because you're the God of creativity. You're the God of more. You're an eternal God, which means that there's always new. There's always something different. So Father, would you come? Would you come? Spirit of God, come and do miracles for these men and women. Pour out your Spirit right now, Father. Spirit of God, come. Spirit of God, come. Okay, one more prayer. Those of you that have any kind of sickness or pain in your body, can I get you to put your hand up? Any kind of sickness or pain that you're battling, hands up. Okay, church, look around. Find someone who has their hand up. Go over and stand beside them. Keep your hands up, friends, until someone comes. As soon as someone comes, you can put your hand down. So there's Eric's right over here, needs someone to pray for him. Look around. Father, we're asking that you would come into this building. And Father, we're asking that you'd cleanse the bodies of every single person, for men and women. Father, we're asking for the healing virtue of Jesus to just go right through our physical bodies. I want to pray another thing this morning. For those of you that are struggling with depression and discouragement, can I get you to put your hand up? Any of those kind of things? Going through just a really down time right now. If that's you, put your hand up as well. Church, look around. Find someone around you. Spirit of God, come. Come, Holy Spirit. Welcome you, Father. Come. Come. Father, would you go into, just be speaking into our minds. Encourage us. Father, if there's just been a bombardment of junk from the enemy, of distrust, of discouragement, Father, we just ask that you'd cleanse that and just pull it all off of us in the name of Jesus. Bring restoration. Bring hope. Bring healing, Father. Okay, last prayer. Get one hand ready. Pick your most anointed hand. I don't know if you know which one that is. Did you know that God has an anointed hand? It's called the right hand of God. So for whatever reason, that's the word that's in the scripture about God, as if he has hands. But it talks about the right hand of God. I'd like you to put your hand on someone else's shoulder and pray for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Can you do that? 30 seconds. Pray for your friend and then have them pray for you. Spirit of God, come. Holy Spirit, would you come? Fill every one of us. Right now, Daddy. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. Welcome you here. Holy Spirit, come and fill us. Holy Spirit, come. Okay, switch your friends. Switch around. Have them pray for you. If they've been praying for you, you pray for them now. More Holy Spirit. More Holy Spirit. Come, Daddy. Come and fill your people. The love of the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship, the hanging out with the Holy Spirit. We want that, Father. We want that closeness. Come and fill your people. Renew your people. Oh, Daddy, we thank you. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Now, just as you're praying for each other, let me just wrap up two quick announcements for you. For those of you that are newcomers, my wife didn't say one of the benefits. If you fill in that card this morning as a newcomer, if you don't mind, Case, one of our interns, is wearing a red shirt. He's right by the bookstore. And we have a gift for all of you that are first time, second time, third time newcomers here with us today at Catch the Fire. And there's a book table right by the bookstore. And you just walk by. You don't even have to say anything. You just pick up one of those books. And it's a gift from us to say thank you for being with us today. And if you filled in one of the newcomer cards, you can leave it right there with Case or my wife and I. We're going to be by the door as well. Second thing, if you are a newcomer, my wife's already talked about this, and you've been here maybe 2 months, 3 months, we have a Meet the Pastors luncheon. It's absolutely free. And if you can change your dinner plans, if you can stay for an hour, hour and a half, it starts at 1 o'clock and finishes at 2:30. So if you could stay right at the back of the auditorium, just head down by the bookstore, turn right, and in like 20 minutes or so, we're going to have that luncheon. You are welcome. Even if you didn't plan to be at it, you are welcome to come. We've always have enough food to go around. So if you're a newcomer thinking of making this your church, or you already have decided to make this your church, we want to have like a quick orientation, just a time to get to know you as well. So that's taking place at the end of the meeting. Church, are you encouraged? Has God done something today? Have you been lifted up? I want to just grab someone's hand as we dismiss. Father, we're taking the words from 680 News on the radio yesterday that a small group of Christians brought nightmares to our city. Father, we're saying that's a prophetic word. That's talking about a small group of people bringing change. And Father, we receive that. And Father, these fish that we looked at on the CBC, they're talking about fish jumping into boats even, and just there's not the fisheries, there's not enough people to deal with all the increase. And Father, we're saying, bring it on in our city, in our nation. Father, may souls begin to return come to know you. Father, we're asking for people who've walked away from church, walked away from faith, to turn back to you, Father. May they jump back into the boat. Father, we're asking for the harvest in our city. And Jesus, we declare that you are Lord of this city. You're the primary spirit that oversees this whole gathering of 6 million people in our area. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you. This is your city. This is your city. Would you come and invade your city? And Father, may there be peace on our streets. May there be peace in the homes. May there be prosperity, Father. We're asking for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the love of the Father, to be with all of us. And as we go, we take the light. We're the salt. And so, Father, bless us as we bless our city this week. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.